Now, let me finish by turning to Australia's response in space. How should we respond to the challenge that we're now seeing, not only in terms of the military systems the Chinese are developing in space, but also the soft power space competition? In terms of the military systems, I think the first thing we need to do is strengthen credible deterrence by denial, make it more difficult for an adversary like China to be able to use those space capabilities, those counter space capabilities to threaten our satellites. And that can be achieved through building resilient space capability. So rather than having a small number of satellites, we augment those satellites with a larger number of smaller satellites. We disaggregate space functions across networked constellations, and we have the ability to rapidly reconstitute. And that's where I think Australia's space sector can really come to the fore, because our ability to build small satellites and also launch them on Australian launch vehicles from Australian launch sites rapidly is going to be key if we want to burden share in orbit to a greater degree. We also need to think about defensive and offensive space control to strengthen that deterrence. When Air Marshal Mel Hupfield announced the formation of the Space Division, he made it clear that, you know, the words he used was, we're not going to militarize space. Well, space has been militarized since the dawn of the space age, in the sense that we've had satellites there since the 60s that have been supporting military activities on the ground. What we're not going to do is weaponize space, but we do need to think about how we defend our critical space access, particularly against Chinese counter space capabilities. That also implies we need to enhance space domain awareness and space surveillance from the ground and through space within the Five Eyes and other alliance partners. That will deny anonymity to actors that are seeking to utilize soft kill capabilities in the gray zone. And that would significantly reduce the incentive for a country like China to use those counter space capabilities if they know they can't have that anonymity. Boost space cooperation with allies and partners, but also engage with the commercial sector more widely. I think that's critical. And wherever possible, we should update our legal and regulatory structures and support more international space diplomacy to try and make it more difficult for China. We've seen a number of key developments, most recently, Defence Strategic Update Force Structure Plan, which elevated space significantly into its own operational domain. It saw increasing emphasis on sovereign controlled space capabilities, greater emphasis on space awareness, and the direct mention of space control for the first time. So we talked about the funding was increased to $7 billion over 10 years, and there's a number of key projects that will benefit from that. There's also a space domain review that's underway. That'll be finalized by late 2021, early 2022. The key issue coming out of that is it has to define ADF space strategy. We don't have an ADF space strategy at the moment. We have a classified document, but really it's not a strategy per se in terms of something that can guide national activity. So we need a proper ADF space strategy that can clarify, in particular, the ADF's approach to space control. Most recently, we've had the establishment of the Defence Space Division to be headquartered in the RAAF, with the naming of Air Vice Marshal Kath Roberts as its inaugural head. This is, in effect, an ADF Space Command. It's a really positive step forward in terms of concentrating all our space professional expertise and having a coherent approach to space policy. It's not a space force like the Americans. It's something that's focused very much on policy and capability development in a coherent manner. But I do think it is critical for us to deepen ties with the US Space Force and with the US Air Force Space Command, as well as with other partners through the Five Eyes and also with Japan. So where do we go from here to finish up? We're seeing a more competitive space environment that's going to be out there, both in the region from LEO to GEO that is highly contested, and also further out to the moon, particularly later in the decade when you start to see this astro-strategic competition beginning to pick up in that region. So what should Australia do? The first thing we need to do is build our sovereign space launch capability so that we can actually play a direct role in space rather than simply being a suitable piece of real estate to base ground facilities on. We have to have that ability to do something meaningful about space control, particularly in a contested space environment where we are facing Chinese counter-space capabilities. So that means focusing very much on space resilience. Secondly, we should fully support the Artemis project. That would enable us to play a far more substantial role on and around the moon in this decade and beyond, rather than once again simply sitting back and looking from Earth as the Americans go back to the moon. We need to ultimately contribute on and around the moon in terms of an Australian presence. As signatories to the Artemis Accords, that gives us a direct opportunity to be part of US space activities on the lunar surface, including for in-situ resource utilization that is going to be so crucial to sustain and enable a future exploration of the solar system. We should also play a continuing role, I think, in the diplomatic, legal, and regulatory efforts to manage and constrain the threat of space weaponization. There's a UN General Assembly resolution, Resolution 7536, that is seeking to discuss norms of responsible behavior. Australia is supporting that, and I think we need to continue to lead in a diplomatic sense. There needs to be some sort of clarification in a strategic and doctrinal sense on how we respond to counter-space threats. There was a CSIS report that came out earlier in the year called Defense Against the Dark Arts in Space, which is highly recommended reading. It goes into all the challenges of defending satellites. So when we talk about space control, we actually need to explain, well, what do we mean by space control? And it's not simply looking on from Earth with space domain awareness. And finally, I think there is a case for a national space strategy. The Australian Space Agency released their civil space strategy in 2019. Defence is working on a space domain update. The commercial sector needs to play a much more visible role in strategy. So really, there is a case for bringing together all three and with academia to develop a national space strategy. And we do need to think about the distant future, because space activities don't stop at Mars. Okay, we'll get to Mars in the 2040s, but we should be going further. I'll finish there.